I don't quite know if I can follow that, really. Thank you. Thank you very much, David. That has saved us reading an awful lot of pages of the Bible over these next few sessions. So I'm very grateful to you for giving up your time and working so hard to give us that presentation. Thank you very much. The part that we're going to focus on in a moment is, of course, how Moses was enlisted. And David mentioned there his reluctance to enlist. So we're going to be looking at that in a moment. The other thing that I meant to say at the beginning, there's still one spare Bible at the back there, or there's some Sidhon Bibles as well. We're not putting all the scriptures up on the screen, so it's going to be useful this morning to have a Bible with you as well. Just a quick recap from last night. We were talking about what God has for us this weekend. We were talking about blessings. We believe that he has blessings for us, blessings in abundance. We were having a look at the prayer of Jabez, and most people have now got a copy of the book of the prayer of Jabez. We were saying that we hope that we might have fresh encounters with God this weekend, a new calling, so that we might go home blessed, with renewed vision, ready to fly, and ready to become game changers wherever we are. I'll just go back to that one. Yeah, we just looked at, we mentioned Moses, Isaiah, Jabez, Jesus, of course, we'll be looking at. And we had some testimonies. We talked about some stories that have affected us personally. So we're focusing on Exodus 3 verse 10 going through to chapter 5 verse 1. We're not going to read it because David has told us most of the story. As we've learnt, to truly encounter God, Moses goes on a journey of trust. He learns to trust God, and it is this trust that enables him to become a significant game changer. Moses enlists eventually in the purposes of God for his life. So we're going to start at chapter 3 and verse 10. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses is sent, his call. God gives him his marching orders, and this results, for a while at least, in total meltdown, which we'll have a look at in a minute. But before that, it's important that we understand that in his younger days, Moses had already been a rescuer. As David told us in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we learn that young Moses rescued a Hebrew slave by killing an Egyptian. And Acts 7, verse 25, tells us that Moses thought that by his saving the Hebrew slave, his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. But they did not. What happened, in fact, was that Moses was taunted about the murder. Exodus 2, verse 14, the man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." Moses fled to the desert for 40 years. His sense of calling, security and significance was gone. But the call from God in Exodus 3 verse 10, telling him that he is being sent, is a reminder to Moses of where he was before as a younger man. He's being recommissioned. Moses changed from being a murderer, but rescuer, to freeing the captives, a rescuer again. A bit like us, perhaps. We may have had a sense of destiny when we were younger, but then life intervened and we went through some desert experiences, disappointments, disillusionments? Does our calling need to be renewed? Do we need to re-enlist? Do we need to be recommissioned like Moses? Let's just have a look at his total meltdown, the immediate reaction to his call by God. There were no less than 5 negative responses from Moses. Firstly, in chapter 3, verse 11, "But who am I?" Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God's response in verse 12, "I will be with you," is that Moses has asked the wrong question. It's not about you, Moses, it's about God. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" God says to Moses, "I will be with you." The Bible teacher that we were listening to at Spring Harvest has got young children, and the week after Spring Harvest she was going to be taking her children to climb Mount Snowdon, and she thought her 8-year-old daughter, when faced with Mount Snowdon, would say, "No way, I'm not going up there, I can't do that, I can't climb that mountain." And what would Mum and Dad say to her? "Yes, you can, because we're going to be with you, and we're going to hold your hand, and we're going to drag you over the rough bits, and we're going to stop and give you a drink when you need one, and we're going to do all that for you, and you will get to the top. You can do it. You will do it." That's what God was saying to Moses. "I will be with you." Verse 13. "What if they ask me your name?" God again says, "Look to me. I am who I am. I will be with you. Trust me." "Take your eyes off yourself," says God, "and look at me." The measure of our faith in God is proportionate to our grasp of his greatness. Chapter 4, verse 1. "What if they do not believe me or listen to me?" Aren't we often full of what ifs? But Moses had already been assured in chapter 3, verse 18, that the elders of Israel will listen to him. It says that. "The elders of Israel will listen to you." Don't look inwards, but upwards. Anything is possible with God. The signs in chapter 4 point to this. Turning the snake back to wood dismantled Egyptian pride. As David mentioned, on Pharaoh's metal headdress there was a cobra. Also, Moses' trust in God is visibly increasing when he picks up the large snake by its tail. Who in their right mind would do that? But Moses is learning to trust. In the second sign, God restores Moses' leprous hand. Leprosy was rife, but God shows that he can cure it. And in the third sign, turning the water of the Nile to blood, again there is a challenge to all that the Egyptians hold dear. The Nile is at the very heart of Egypt's existence, and it's being threatened. Moses is learning that God can transform, renew, heal, and conquer through obedience to him. Chapter 4, verse 10. "I have never been eloquent," Moses said to the Lord. "Pardon your servant, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." But Acts chapter 7, verse 22, tells us that he was eloquent. It says, "Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action." Moses could do it, but he was feeling intimidated, worrying, lacking confidence in himself. God just wants him to go and get on with it. Verse 11, the Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? It's not about you, Moses, it's about me. I will help you. I will partner with you. Just go." Verse 13. "Send someone else." Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." This really is the final straw as far as God is concerned. God loves to be trusted wholeheartedly. And if not, then eventually he gets cross, as in verse 14. But even then, in verse 15, God promises to help Moses and Aaron. God is going to give the words to Moses, and Moses will speak to Aaron and put the words in his mouth. God is going to help Moses and Aaron. Listen to God and repeat what he says. Verse 18, at long last, Moses enlists. Phew. "Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive.' Jethro said, 'Go, and I wish you well.'" And then there is a lovely touch in verse 19 when God gives Moses a wonderful reassurance by reminding him that all the men who had previously wanted to kill him are now dead. The immediate threats are removed. And in verse 20, Moses is reassured of the presence, provision, and power of God as he takes the staff of God in his hand. So off they go to Pharaoh finally, chapter 5, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Moses is back on track, back to his original design commission. There are goals in extra time. It's never too late. We're going to have a look at a passage from Matthew's Gospel in a minute, but I just thought it might be good just to break for about 5 or 6 minutes and have a bit of discussion time in the book Game Changers. I've put the page references there. There's a few questions there for discussion. Page 85, are you in? There are 4 questions there about what dreams you might have. What dreams have you had in the past, perhaps 20 years ago, 30 years ago? What dreams maybe that haven't come to fruition yet? And also on page 114, there are 3 sections there. Speak up, stand up, act up. Is God prompting you to do any of these things? Is he prompting you to speak up about something, to stand up for something, to act up for something? So whatever you want to do in small groups, just have a chat for 5 or 6 minutes, then we'll go on to a section from Matthew's Gospel.
Okay, Matthew 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came to him and attended him. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. And now I'm going to just jump now to verse 17. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.
We're just going to look at a few thoughts and pointers from that reading based on these four headings: enlist, submit, surrender, and serve. Enlisting involves getting our names on the register, signing up, joining the army of game changers. Every day we may need to re-enlist, to be recommissioned, in order to pursue that vision. Enlistment begins with a journey. Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Once we enlist, God will bring us to the place where we submit. Jesus submitted himself to the process of baptism. Game changers are submitted to the will of the Father. And once submitted, heaven opens up and the Holy Spirit comes down. God will empower those who submit to him. Jesus went out in the power of the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1 of we've just read. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he would return 40 days later in that same power. And Jesus submitted to the truth of his Father's will when he resisted the three temptations in the desert. The key to victory here is the word of God. It is written, Jesus says in verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. When we talk about being empowered tomorrow morning, we will be revisiting these two key themes of being empowered by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Enlisting and submitting are followed by the third ingredient, surrender. And surrender brings the solitude, or brokenness, of a desert experience, experienced by both Moses and, in this story, by Jesus. It's once we've reached these desert times, this brokenness in our lives, that God really can begin to use us. I read this just a few days ago in my Daily Bread commentary, where the writer wrote this. Sometimes when people ask me, what is God doing in your life? My honest answer is, I don't know. But I'm confident that I am his and that he is mine and that there's a covenant between us. Sometimes we really don't know what God is doing in those desert times, which may go on for years. but we can be sure that he is working in us. Moses returns to Egypt from Midian and begins to serve the Lord. Jesus comes out of the wilderness and, as we read in that final verse, verse 17, begins to preach. He begins his lifetime of service after the process of enlisting, submission and surrender comes service. We have to go through these same processes in order that we might be effective in God's service. Use what you have and start from where you are today. And a little aside, stay in your own lane. We sometimes get envious of what other Christians are doing. Oh, they're doing better than me. They're doing, oh yes, I need to do that. You don't. You just stay in your own lane. Stay what and do what God has got for you. Enlist, submit, surrender and serve. God will give us the supernatural power to do what he wants us to do. Just a final thought. Enlisting in God's work will involve many challenges and trials. But in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, we read this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance must finish its work. After coffee, we'll be looking at everyone going together, Moses and Aaron, partnering, helping each other, being community. Don't run away from community, run into community. Keep going, persevere. If you want to read a page during the break from the book, I can recommend page 107, which is about a group of people called Parabolani. So if you want a little read in the break, we're going to reconvene at 11:30. In the meantime, if anybody would like some prayer during the coffee break, then I'm sure there will be plenty of people around to pray with you if you'd like to. Thank you.